Welcome to the New Life Sermon of the Week. This podcast is part of the ministry of New Life Church in Frederick, Maryland. For more information on the ministries of our church, please visit our website at inewlife.church. We hope you enjoy today's message brought by our lead pastor, Abe Pfeiffer.
Son of God and Son of Man, heaven's light and love, sent to us upon this land, divinity with us. Born of woman, virgin birth, and prophecies fulfilled, and traded throne for manger low, glory come to earth. And hallelujah, Christ is born, the Savior of the world has come. Lamb of God in stable laid, humbled in his frame, the shepherds and the wise men came to look upon God's face. The angels joined in choir song, the time had finally come for love to open up the way and bring the wandering home. Hallelujah, Christ is born.
Well, I love Christmas, like I said earlier, and one of my favorite things is getting to see and interact with kids around Christmas and get to see and experience kids discovering Christmas. And I remember hearing the story of what he decided to tell his parents when he got in the car about how he learned about the first Christmas that day. And so he was telling his parents all about it, and he was saying, "Mom, Dad, I mean, did you know that when the first Christmas happened, that there was no Santa Claus?" They were like, "Really?" And he said, "Yeah." So instead they had to have these three skinny kings, like they called them wise men or something, and they had to go on these camels to bring all the presents. And they were like, "Oh, wow." And then he said, "Yeah, and not only that, but Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer, he wasn't around either. So instead they had to follow this big spotlight in the sky to know how to get there. It was crazy." And, you know, I love hearing just the stories, again, of kids that, you know, we live in such an Americanized culture when it comes to Christmas. And yet for many of us, if you've been around Christmas or church, you know generally the story about Jesus coming to earth in the form of a baby. And you know about shepherds and wise men and everything else. And yet what can happen is that sometimes we can miss the magnitude of that story. That we can stop discovering and stop being impacted by the depth of what this story means. And we can lose the impact of what the gifts of Christmas can really have on our lives. And that's what my hope has been throughout this Christmas season for us and even this evening, that we would allow the gifts of Christmas to have a new freshness, a new sense of joy and appreciation, and even a deeper sense of meaning for us. And so tonight, you know, as we begin, I want to start by reading a verse from 1 John chapter 5. Again, 2,000 years ago, Jesus came to this earth that we might have eternal life. And this is how it says it in 1 John. He says, "God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son does not have life." So again, God sent his Son so that we could have life. And today what I want to do as we reflect on Christmas is just reflect on three simple things here before we close this evening that would just help us to recognize three things that Jesus brings. That when he came, this whole evening really a lot, many of our songs and our focus is all around God with us. That God sent his Son to be with us. And when he came, he brought something with him that he didn't take with him when he left this earth. There are things that are still available to us today. And the three things that I want us to recognize about what Jesus brings are these. First of all, I want us to recognize that he brings new life. We like that phrase around here. I think I heard it somewhere. But he brings new life. In fact, in John chapter 1, John says, "In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." John goes on to say in verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." God with us. That word in incarnation, it means that God came and took on human form, came in the flesh, so that he could bring light to all the darkness that was in this world. I think it's important for us to remember that while we live in a day and age that if you look around, you could go, "Wow, there is a lot of darkness in this world." I think it's important for us to remember that darkness has always been there. Once sin entered the human race in that garden many, many, many years ago with Adam and Eve, ever since then, there's been darkness. And yet, Jesus was God's plan to bring light in that darkness. And his plan had to do with coming
in the form of a human being to walk this earth so that he could show us, so that we could relate to him, that we could begin to have this connection to God through his son Jesus, and furthermore, so that Jesus could show us what God was like, so that we could come to know and understand his love and his nature and his character. And so Jesus came to show us what God was like. He came to die on the cross for our sins so that we could know forgiveness. He rose from the grave so that we could know that we could also experience power over death, that death is not something we need to fear because Jesus defeated death when he rose from the grave. And furthermore, he promised that he would return and bring us into eternity with him. And so he came to earth in order to communicate those things. But here's what I want us to do for a moment this evening. I want us to imagine, what would the world be like if God had not sent his son in the person of Jesus to ever come to earth? What would this world be like? Think about it. One thing that came to my mind was, I don't even think America would exist if Jesus had not come. Our nation was born out of people who were hungry to have a relationship with God and to get out of the government-driven church of England. And there was this hunger for that freedom to be able to worship God and have that relationship with him. Furthermore, some of the great institutions that our world knows wouldn't even exist. Harvard, for instance, was founded as a Christian institution to help train up those people that now had come and relocated to this new land, to train them up to be able to be strong in character and to be able to think for themselves. And so, furthermore, there would be no Christmas. All the kids go, oh! There would be no Christmas. There would be no symbol of what this time represents, what God's heart is all about. There would be no Christmas carols and hymns as we sing tonight. See, without Jesus, our world would be different. Not only would our world be different, but people's lives would be different. You read through the Bible, people like Mary Magdalene would have died in her sin. Matthew the tax collector would have remained a traitor to his countrymen. Peter, James, and John, they would have remained ordinary fishermen. They never would have gone and become these world-changing leaders of the church. The Apostle Paul would have remained a legalistic Pharisee. The people who needed healing along the way never would have experienced healing. We never would have heard the words of promise that Jesus communicated, like, peace I give you. And so, when we sing about Emmanuel, God with us at Christmas, it means so much. Because when Jesus came to be God with us, it changed everything. It changed everything. Not only for the bigger picture of the world, but it changed everything for you. It changed everything for me. And so because he came, we have new life. We have new purpose. And he taught us that we have value. That even though we were sinners, even though we were broken, even though we have imperfection and failures, that we are valuable to God. And he, in fact, turned the scales of what is valuable upside down. Even in his culture, there were people who measured by worldly standards. And he said, no. You've heard it said this, but I say to you that the servant is the greatest in the kingdom. Right? He turned and he said, those who are unimportant in the world's eyes are so important to God. Even the little children, they're so important to God. I was talking with someone recently about antique stores. And I was remembering how Stacy and I, when we first got married, we would go to these antique stores all the time. And what I was blown away by is I would go and I would find toys in there that I had when I was a child that were now selling for 10 times what they were when I was a child. And furthermore, my mom threw them out, so I couldn't even go make a fortune off of them, you know?
I'm still a little bitter about that, you know. But again, it's this picture of value that what the world values is one thing. God says, no, I have a whole different set of values. And when he looks at us, he doesn't see us through the eyes of imperfection. He sees us through the eyes of love. He sees us through the eyes of compassion. And therefore, when he sent his son so that we could have new life. No matter what your past looked like, he said, there is new life for you in me. He who has the son has life, and that much more abundantly. So Jesus, first of all, he brought new life, but second of all, he brought complete forgiveness. Think for a moment about the worst thing you've ever done. Don't think about it too long. But if you are like me, there are maybe one or two of those things that you think about that even when you start to imagine the situation, the shame of it, almost it can almost burn just something on your heart and your mind that just feels, you feel this shame, right? This guilt, like, oh, if only I could go back and rewind and redo that, right? And what would it be like if Jesus hadn't come and then you had no hope for that forgiveness? That the things of your past that you still had to carry those. But since Jesus came, he brought forgiveness, that we could know forgiveness from God and that we could experience forgiveness with one another. I love the story that's probably a fable that's been told for years. I remember hearing it when I was a child, of two brothers who were farmers who had worked together for over 40 years. They had shared, you know, they lived side by side and they shared farm equipment. They shared everything. They partnered together in this farm business. And so one day it started with a little misunderstanding and it became something so much more till it exploded in this huge argument, and now they hadn't talked for weeks and weeks and weeks. One of the brothers went out and he broke the levee where there was a meadow between their homes. Now he broke the levee and now there was a creek that formed between their homes because there was just this bitterness that had formed between them. Well, one day a guy came and knocked on the door of the older brother named John. And he said, I work for a living with my hands. Is there anything you need help with? And the brother thought about it for a moment. He said, you know, actually there is. He said, what do you do? He said, well, I'm a carpenter. I can work with wood and everything. And he said, well, that's great because I need you to build me an 8-foot fence all around my property so that it keeps my brother out and it sends a message to him that there's no way he's ever setting foot on my property again. And so the carpenter said, all right, where's the wood? And so he showed him where the wood was. He went to work. And at the end of the day, the older brother walked out only to see that this carpenter was done with his work, but he hadn't built a fence. He built a bridge. And about the time that he was about to start chewing out this carpenter, he saw his brother walking across the bridge with arms open wide, saying, brother, I can't believe that you built this bridge. Thank you so much. I'm so sorry for what I've done. And the older brother all of a sudden swallowed his pride and realized, I'm longing for forgiveness as well. And he said, would you forgive me for the things I said? And they looked at the carpenter and said, hey, would you be able to do some more work around here? And the carpenter said, no, I've got many more bridges to help build. And obviously, we know that the carpenter is Jesus. And he's in the business of building bridges between us and God, so that the relationship that was once divided can be completed, but also he's in the business of building bridges with one another. But that forgiveness, again, comes through Jesus Christ. He brings complete forgiveness from the things of our past. You can't make it up through good deeds. You can't make it up by just pretending like it's not there. It involves confessing and ultimately saying, would you forgive me, God? And even in those situations where we need to go to others, that we would do the same. But can I tell you something? Our ability to have complete forgiveness with others flows from our ability to have
receive complete forgiveness from God. And maybe if you're struggling in a relationship, I would encourage you to start by going first to Jesus and saying, Jesus, would you forgive me? There may be, what I found in my own life is when I'm struggling with a relational thing, it's often because there's guilt and shame in my own life that I've got to bring before the Lord and say, God, would you clean my heart afresh today? He brings complete forgiveness, but then thirdly, he brings the hope of heaven. See, heaven was made possible through Jesus. Think about what the world would be like today if there was no hope of heaven. That there is no hope that when this life ends, that you and I will get to spend eternity with him. I mean, what would you say at the funeral of a loved one if there was no hope of heaven? When 1 Corinthians, Paul says, if only for this life we have hope in Christ. You see, if Jesus Christ had not come, then there would be no hope that he was going to come again. But instead, when he came, he said, by the way, I'm coming back. And where I go, I'm going to be preparing a place for you. And so because Jesus came, it changed everything. And now there's this anticipation that we can live our life with this hope. It's not that we're just surviving and trying to get through, but rather there's this anticipation for what's to come. I remember a Christmas when I was a child, and one year I was snooping around in my parents' closet. Don't tell my kids. And I remember I was really wanting some Star Wars figures that year for Christmas. And I snooped in and I found the Darth Vader figure. And I was so excited. And a Chewbacca figure and Luke Skywalker. And I mean, the whole crew was there. The problem was, I was about 17 at the time. No, just kidding. I was about 7 at the time. And I remember it slipped out of my mouth one day with my mom and all. I realized I was caught. And she said, uh-oh, I guess we're going to have to take those back to the store since they're not going to be a surprise anymore. And I was like, I'll forget. I'll forget. Thankfully, they had mercy and I still got my Star Wars figures. But I remember even after that moment, my hope was even more so, please, please let them still be there. And you know, there's something about that anticipation of heaven that when we have hope for what's to come, that as we walk through this life, we all know there are challenges, that there are things outside of our control, that there are hurts and there are things that are heavy, and yet with the hope of heaven, we can take one foot and put it in front of the other and say, God, my confidence is in you, and I know that you're with me both in this life and that you are waiting for me and preparing me for the life to come. And so I don't get disheartened. Instead, I fix my eyes on you and I have joy because my hope is not in what this life produces, but rather my hope is in you and in the promise of eternity. And so we look forward with that. And so when we recognize that Jesus brings these things, that he brings new life, that he brings forgiveness, that he brings the hope of heaven, now, even though there's darkness in this world, maybe even for some here, you'd say, you know, I've even felt some darkness in my life. I've felt the darkness of depression. I've felt the darkness of loneliness. I've felt the darkness of just the heaviness of needs that I have. Wondering whether something, maybe for some, it's even that you've faced failure in your life. And yet when you remember that God is with us, that not only did Jesus come 2,000 years ago, but that he left his Holy Spirit, that he left us his promises, and that we can stand firm in that, that then when you remember these things that Jesus brings, now you have light. That light that comes as you abide in him. And to this evening, what I want to do here in just a moment is I want us to pray, and then we're going to be lighting a couple candles together before we close. But I want to just ask you to close your eyes with me, if you would, for a moment. Because over the last few minutes, I've asked you to imagine, what would it be like if Jesus hadn't come? Now, I want you to imagine, what would it be like if Jesus wasn't a part of your life? And maybe for some, you'd say, that's not too hard for me to imagine, because Jesus hasn't really been a part of my life. I've been far from him, and yet maybe you're here this evening and you'd say, you know what? Some of these things you've talked about, Pastor, I want that. I want that new life. I want to know that I'm forgiven. I want to know that I have the hope of heaven. I want to have this confidence in my life. And I want you to know that wherever you are in your journey, whether maybe for some, maybe you've heard about church, maybe you've been around it a little bit, but maybe you just grew far from him, or maybe this is all brand new to you. Wherever you are in that process, I know that I was where you were once as well. Even though I'd been around church and I'd heard God's name and I'd heard some of the stories, there came a moment where I had to make the decision to say, Jesus, I want you in my life. I don't want to just be around you. I want you to be front and center in my life. Because I need that hope. I need that forgiveness. I know the things I've done. I know I don't feel worthy sometimes. And when I said yes to him, it changed everything. And maybe you're here tonight and you'd say, that's me. I want to say yes to Jesus. And I'm just a moment, I'm going to give you the opportunity to lift your hand and to simply say, "That's Pastor, that's me. I want to say yes to him. I want to receive him in my life." And I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to draw any attention to you, but I'm simply just going to pray after that for you. But if there's anyone here at all that would say, I want to say yes to Jesus tonight. I want him to be a part of my life from this day forward. Would you just slip up your hand right now if that's you? If you'd say, that's me, Pastor, I want him. I want to receive him. Yeah, awesome. 1, 2, 3. Awesome. Anyone else? 4. Awesome. Anyone else? Cool. Lord, go ahead and put your hands down. Lord, I just thank you for these that would say yes to you tonight. And I just pray that tonight they would hear and know that you are with them and that you love them. And that your forgiveness is for them. Lord, for each of us in this place, may we have a new joy and confidence in you as we know that you do bring new life. That for some of us, even though we've been walking with you, that we would experience your forgiveness afresh. And that we would live our lives, Lord, with this, again, just this new sense of hope. Knowing that we aren't just living for what we can accomplish here and now, but that we're living with heaven in mind. Lord, I pray blessing over each one in this place. May we be people that have your light alive in us. In Jesus' name. If you could go ahead and get your candle out there. We're going to move into a time of candle lighting together. And I'm going to ask you to go ahead and stand to your feet if you would. And I'm going to get the candle started, and we're going to be singing together, and then I'll keep it lit, and I'll give you some instructions in just a moment.
Silent night, shepherds with
We've got these candles glowing here, and what a beautiful picture of what the light looks like in us. I love watching as the light spreads throughout the room in just a moment or two, and when God's light is alive in us, that has that effect. And there's something about when Jesus comes and he does that new work in our lives that, again, something begins to shine and something begins to change and the darkness begins to dissipate. And what I love about these services and these gatherings when these candles are lit is that, again, it's this symbolic picture of again, that light shining in us. And what I love even is that every light represents a story. That every light represents a story that God has begun a story in your life and he's not done with you yet. And until that final day, that light is going to shine. And yet what I love to do is as we put our candles out is I like to do it a certain way. We've done it this way over the last couple of years, and it's kind of just fun to reflect on and hear about the new decisions for Christ in a sense, but also to hear and see the long testimonies. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to begin to say certain time frames, and if you land within that time frame, you can lift your candle up, and then you can put your candle out when I tell you to do that with that group. If you want to put it out, I mean, if you want to blow it out, you can. It gets a little smoky in here, so if you want to lick your finger and do that, you can do it. And if you're afraid to do it, have your wife do it for you. If you've given your life to Christ in this last year, would you just lift up your candle if that's you? If in this last year you've made that commitment to follow Jesus, awesome. Anyone else? Awesome. Excellent. I praise God for that. I praise God for the stories of commitment to Christ. Amen. We rejoice with you. We love you. We're so excited to see what God continues to do in your lives. Go ahead. If you're in that group, go ahead and put your candles out there. How about in the last 5 years? If in the last 5 years you've committed your life to Christ, would you put yours up there as well? Awesome. Excellent. Man, you're on your way and you've just begun. Great things are to come for you as well. Go ahead and put your candles out. How about 10 years or less? If in the last 10 years or less you've been walking with Jesus, that's awesome. Awesome. Praise God. Go ahead and put yours out. How about 20 years, in the last 20 years or less? Go ahead and lift yours up. I think we're going to knock some out in this group here. Yeah. Last 20 years or less, you've been walking with Jesus. Praise God. Go ahead and put your candles out. How about 30 years? 30 years or less, you've been walking with Jesus. Cool. Awesome. You can go ahead and put yours out. How about 35 years or less? 35 years or less. Awesome. How about 36? 36. All right, this is where I go out right here. All right. How about I'm going to make a jump here up to 45 years. 45 years or less. Wow. There's some saints in this group. My goodness. Got the Kemps and, oh my gosh, Tom and Ellie. All right, go ahead and put yours out. How about 50 years? 50 years or less. Wow. My in-laws over here. Brenda, you're over here. Awesome. 50 years. Man, that's incredible. Go ahead and put your candles out. Now we're getting a little higher. How about 60 years? 60 years or less. Go ahead and lift your 60 years over here. You can go ahead and put your candles out. Is that Sharon May there? All right. How about how many do we have over here? How many years right here in the middle? 80 years. Praise God. Wow. How about over here? 65. And next to you? 70. Praise God. Oh, wow. You guys can go ahead and put your candles out over there. Any over in the middle here? How about over on this side? How many years over here? Are you still doing the math? Carry the one. How many years? 85. We have a winner. Wow. Praise God. That's awesome. That's awesome. You go ahead and put yours out. Awesome. Well, we rejoice. Let's go ahead and sing together here before we close. Yeah.
Thanks for listening to today's message. If you would like to share your prayer needs or how this message impacted your life, please go to the Resources tab on our website, inewlife.church. There you can also find out more about the exciting things going on at New Life.